edition of the Fuel Podcast and the June Super UTA. And Super UTA in June means, so that's right, no UTA in July. So hopefully you everyone gets to spend a little more time with their family, maybe go on a trip or something, you know, since we don't have to come in July. So, hey, so we've got a jam-packed show for you this week. We've got safety on here talking about the 101 critical days of summer and some tips that you can use to help mitigate risks. And then we've also got Lieutenant Johnson, who's the project officer for the Air Force Assistance Fund. She's going to talk to us a little bit about what the Air Force Assistance Fund is, as well as how you can get involved and how you can donate to help your fellow wingmen out. So this UTA, we've got a few things going on. We've got the Greek Olympic Games on Saturday. That's going to be, I believe, starting at noon. There might be some food over there. I know there's a bunch of games. Some Grissom's got talent. I know some folks out there have talent, so don't be scared. Get up there and show us what you got. And then we've also have the Sapper 0.5K. Yes, you heard that right, 0.5K. That is less than a mile for those of you that are new or unfamiliar with the metric system. And then we also have a CGO lunch with Colonel Fields that's going to be on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the Wing Conference Room. So CGOs, if you've got some free time during your lunch, come over, hang out with Colonel Fields, and soak up some of that knowledge that she has. So, hey, without further ado, I guess we'll go ahead and get into it. First, let's talk about the Air Force Assistance Fund. All right. I am here with Lieutenant Johnson, who is the installation project officer for the Air Force Assistance Fund. How are you today, ma'am?
I am fantastic. How are you, sir?
I am not too bad. So what is the Air Force Assistance Fund? I know that, you know, I've heard of it, but maybe not everyone has. So what is it?
So I am actually just finding out about this myself. The Air Force Assistant Fund, it is a for us, by us fundraising opportunity for airmen and guardians. For us, pretty much applies to airmen, that supports four different charities. So the four charities that it supports are the LeMay Foundation, the Air Force Aid Society, the Enlisted Village, and then the Blue Skies Over Texas. All four of them provide a variety of different support, such as emergency funding, grants, help with higher education, and a lot of housing options too.
So, like, can you give me an example of like what, it sounds awesome, right? Like we are donating to a charity to help our own out in times of need or whatever, but like, can you give me an example of like what type of assistance would be available?
So some of them, it includes if your house is flooded or you have a fire, for example, they can provide emergency housing in that way. But they also still provide assistance for your dependents, your widows, and even after you retire. So one example is also basically like elder assistant living. There's a few options for that as well.
Okay. I said I have heard of Air Force Assistance Fund, right? And I did spend 8 years on active duty. And when you first came to us, this was probably, I don't know, month and a half ago, something like that, maybe. Could have been longer than that. I don't know. Time is just...
it blends together.
Yeah. But it was interesting because I have been here for 5 years and this is the first time I've heard of it here. I heard of it every single year on active duty. Why did I only hear about it this year here?
So there's actually been some recent changes, and basically way back. So way back in the day of 2019 and before, the Air Force Assistant Fund did not support the Garden Reserve like they do for active duty. And basically, for us to be able to obtain assistance from them, you would have to be on active duty orders for 15 or more days. And that was silly. So the COO at the time made the point that when he was deployed, he's a retired chief. He looked at the people to the left and right of him, and he just saw the Air Force uniform. He didn't see a guard or reserve. He just saw us as one total force. So he called for the change, and we got it. And ever since then, we've had more and more participation from the reserve components. In fact, I've reached out to some of our brother and sister bases, such as Youngstown, and it's actually their first year participating in the campaign, too.
Okay, so this is Grissom. This is our first year doing it.
Yes.
Okay. How is it going so far?
So far, I still have all the optimism in the world, but we do need more support from the base. We need mostly more volunteers. We only have about 74% of the support we need as far as like our ground workers and project officers. So some of the key positions, like I'm the installation project officer, and then within each group or some of the larger squadrons, there's supposed to be a unit project officer, and then there's supposed to be a key worker for about one per 20 people. And our key workers are going to be your main people going out there, whether it's face to face or talking to their friends and family to educate them about the campaign and our efforts. That's what we need. We need the key workers. And yeah, if you're interested, it's a great opportunity, especially with it being our first year. Like, so many opportunities to get your ideas out there and be creative and have some fun. I really wanted to make a meme contest, but I don't think we'll have time.
Maybe not this year, but you know, it only gets
so much
better
stuff,
from,
yeah, setting
you know, from
up for
year
next
one
year
to year two. Yeah, it's gonna get better. So okay, so if people want to get involved with this, let's say it's either volunteer or donate, when do they have to do that by, and how would someone donate?
Since this is our last UTA during the campaign season, we're going until 28 June. This is the best opportunity to get the most and catch up to our goal. So reach out to your supervisors. You can reach out to me, of course. Our assistant campaign officer is Major Rohrborn, and our base campaign manager is Sergeant Douglas in AMDS. Tyler McKay is our auditor, so you can reach out to any of them or tell your supervisors you're interested. We've had a newsletter blast. There should be more flyers and stuff getting posted. If you wanted to check out like our Grissom Facebook page, there's an article on the main site that they posted with a fantastic picture.
I may be in the background of that picture, looking a little silly. I don't know. Maybe.
I am, speaking of meme contest, I want to zoom in and crop your face specifically.
All right. So now that's what I have to look forward to next year. Well, so the whole thing with this is, and I think even with the photo, it's like, hey, let's have a little fun doing this. Like, this is for us,
yes.
Right? So however we get to the goal, have fun doing it, right? So you mentioned the newsletter. So that was in last month's newsletter. It'll be in this month's newsletter. We did an ad on the podcast last month in between guests, the article, the Facebook stuff.
And then in your newsletter and on the other materials that are going to be sent out, there's a QR code because we have an e-giving site. They call it the peer-to-peer site. So it will take you to our 434 Air Force Assistant Fund campaign with options to donate. So once you get onto that page, scroll down at the bottom and you will see the different groups that already have the unit project officers assigned, and you select which group you want to donate to. And this is where one of the fun parts gets in is essentially we're trying to see who can raise the most money this weekend during the Super UTA.
Ooh, game on. So you're telling me we've got all sorts of competitions this week. We got the Olympic Games.
Yes.
Right on, was that Saturday?
Yes, Saturday afternoon. You will definitely see us there. We're going to have a silent auction table. We're going to have some plugins. And then for our dessert after lunch, will be a pie in the face.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I'm sure there'll be photos of that. Yeah.
I wonder who's going to do those.
It will not be me. I think we've got plenty of talented photographers in the office that will be happy to take some pie in the face photos. So, you know, and you mentioned the QR code. That is a game changer because on active duty, when we would do the Air Force Assistance Fund, the project officers or whoever was taking donations would come around with a piece of paper. And it was like you were taking your standardized testing in school with all the blocks to fill in your name, fill out which thing you were donating to, how much money, did you want it in an allotment, all sorts of things. And now I pull out my phone, I take a picture of this QR code, which we will have everywhere. Yes. Newsletter. It'll be on like little flyers that will be at the Olympic Games. It'll be everywhere. It's easy
to find. I'm encouraging business cards.
Yeah.
For our key workers and UPOs. I've got one myself. I've got my business card. I've got it on my phone. So when I'm talking to friends and family, oh, hey, I'm this project officer for this campaign. It's our first year doing it. And they're like, oh, what is the Air Force Assistant Fund? And so that I can educate them. And I pull out my phone, I show them the slides, and my QR happens to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So super easy. So here's the thing. At the end of the day, you are helping your fellow wingmen out.
Yes.
We've made it super easy.
Family.
Yep.
Their retirees. If you have anyone, hopefully never ends up a widow. Those four charities are there to support us. In fact, it's something that I wish I knew about sooner. So my grandfather passed away last year. He was an Air Force veteran, and towards the end of his life, I have some great jokes from him too. He always made us breakfast and told us these silly jokes. And but towards the end of his life, you could tell like he was still there. He still would beat you in dominoes any day. But it was very hard on my mother. She did have some nursing home experience, but essentially she had to take off from work and take care of him full time. She tried doing part-time jobs. It was very hard to take him to all the medical appointments and getting his medication and being there for the home nurses that would visit. So it's something that I really wish I knew about, because I was going over some of the benefits last night, and the enlisted village that I mentioned, they actually offer transportation to hospitals, as well as funding to help pay for any medication if they needed it. And even just people to talk to, just a whole community to be there for support. So it would have been a lot easier on us if I had known about it sooner. So we really want to get the word out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. If we see you around, if we see the business cards, the flyers, the newsletter, take a picture of that QR code, you know, look at your options to donate and just help your fellow wingmen out. This is a huge community, right? Yeah. And we can help. We have the opportunity to help each other out.
We're small, but we are strong. Like I said at the beginning, I still have unwavering optimism that we can not only meet, but beat our goal.
So what, hold on real quick before we wrap up, what is the goal?
The goal is $14,136.
Where are we at right now?
210.
Holy smokes, we got a long way to go.
And this is where the optimism comes in. But do you know what? I was looking at the number breakdown, and based off of, they break it down by rank, officer and enlisted, based off of the average of what people have donated in the past is your suggested donation amount. Our potential, if everyone that is within the Air Force and military status, if they all donate suggested amount, we could actually make over $150,000.
Holy smoke.
That is our potential.
That's just at Grissom.
Yes.
Wow.
And that is just with pure military members.
Okay, so I now share your optimism that we can meet this goal.
Exactly.
Yep.
That $200, I did that in one afternoon. So what do you got, Grissom?
I like it. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Johnson. And if you see these QR codes, which you will, because they'll be everywhere, give them a scan. If you're able to, think about donating so that we can help each other out. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Really good stuff from Lieutenant Johnson. If you're able to, you know, help us reach our goal. It's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, where your money is going, that you're donating, and it's going to help out your fellow wingmen. So, all right. Let's go ahead and get into some safety stuff. Maybe some grilling safety, some bug safety. I think there's all sorts of things that we need to be cognitive of and think about when we're participating in activities outside this summer. So let's get into some safety tips. All right, so I'm here with Master Sergeant Lancet and Tech Sergeant Holmes from the safety office. So we're in the summer months now, getting a little warm outside, a little too warm for my comfort, I sweat. but so I know we have this 101 critical days of summer, which is a safety initiative, right? So what is the 101 critical days of summer?
So the 101 critical days of summer is a campaign that begins on Memorial Day through Labor Day. So historically, this is the period of time when there are the greatest risk of mishaps and injuries to our airmen. So it's a campaign that ensures that we promote the well-being and safety of our individuals in order for them to prepare for any activities that they may take part in and to exercise risk management.
So what you're saying is the 101 critical days of summer during grilling season and the season when it's the most fun to be outside, right?
Correct.
And so this is to help mitigate risks, right? A little risk management for us. So basically what you're saying is don't do what Doug did on our little safety video and put an entire bottle of lighter fluid on a charcoal grill. Yeah. Just for disclaimer here, that was water, not lighter fluid, before anyone's upset at us. So, okay. So how do we mitigate those risks? Are there some tips? Checklist, anything like that?
Yes, if you go to the U.S. Air Force Safety Center website, they have a checklist, and I can mention a few of the items. We have, the sun exposure. You want to limit your sun exposure. Critical hours are like 10 to 4 p.m. Use hats, sunglasses, the water shirts that you make your kids wear.
Oh, I don't make my kids wear them. I wear them, too. Yeah. You should see the farmer's tan I got going on.
Yeah. Sunscreen, you want to reapply sunscreen every couple hours, especially if you're in and out of water. And even if on cloudy days, you can learn the hard way like I did and not put any sunscreen on. And then the next day you're a lobster.
The year was 2015 and it was overcast. And I thought it was a good idea to be on a boat all day with no sunscreen on. And it was hard to get out of bed the next morning.
That I've been there.
So what else you got for you? We got some sun exposure. I'm sure there's some grilling tips. Maybe I know people like to boat in the summertime.
Okay, so for grilling safety, like we had explained before in the safety video, you know, keeping grills at least 10 feet away from the side of a building and not adding lighter fluid to burning or hot coals. It's definitely a big no-no there. You know, if you're camping, building a campfire, make sure that you build it in an appropriate area and never leave it unattended. Make sure it's completely out before leaving that area.
Always assign a fire watch. And we go camping and someone always has to stay back with the campfire if we go hiking. And, you know, so you got to appoint somebody to you get to stay here. My wife usually stays back and reads a book or something. And
that sounds nice and relaxing, right? No kids, nothing. Just hang out. Make sure that the forest doesn't catch on fire and read your book. So, OK, what about. So do we have anything for boating? Because I know that's a big activity around here. I see the boats the lakes just crammed with boats in the summertime.
You go out on the lake and it's kind of like the Wild West. Lots of people driving as fast as they can. And oftentimes it's an 11-year-old behind the wheel. And so we recommend that you keep an adult that's not drinking to run the boat and keep the speeds to a minimum, you know, especially when there's swimmers and other boaters in the area. You don't want to cause a collision. And just have your safety vests available and make sure everybody knows how to swim. If not, that, you know, that person has got somebody that's paying attention to where that person is at all times.
Yeah. What about life jackets? Is that like we should have those all the time?
Yes. So definitely each person that's going to be in the boat needs to have a life jacket just in case something does happen, because the lakes do get pretty packed. A lot of fast boats moving around. And, you know, in the past, I know I've seen in the news where boats have capsized. So you want to make sure you have it handy with you, preferably wearing. So that way, you know, you're exercising proper risk management.
So there's, I know there's a lot more folks traveling during the summer. So do you guys have any like driving safety tips? I know the tips are going to be way different than they are in the winter time. But I know folks are traveling a lot more, family vacation, some folks traveling long distances. So what do you got for driving?
Okay, so definitely, you know, if you're driving long distances, you know, make sure you get a good night's sleep beforehand. Pre-plan your routes, proper vehicle maintenance, making sure, you know, you got a full tank of gas, you have emergency stuff in your trunk, things like that.
Tire pressure, make sure your signals work, your brake lights, make sure all that's functional.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously the basics, no texting and driving, no distracted driving, and never, ever, ever drink and drive.
What about what I like to refer to as Alaska's state bird, mosquitoes, insects, summertime? They are everywhere. Ticks, bees, mosquitoes, just everything that I don't. What do you got for that?
So definitely insect repellents, you know, making sure you've got, you know, some spray with you, some lotions, whatever you like to use to repel against any sort of bugs and mosquitoes and things like that.
I prefer to use electricity. Yeah, the little insect lights where I get to listen to them zap, or the little wands. I know you had one of those kid just like, oh, there's a mosquito. Got it.
Like the tennis racket
ones.
Tennis
racket ones. Yeah.
I tried to go as long as I can without using the spray because I just don't like it. But once, you know, the ankles start getting chewed up, I got to put the spray on. And then if you go hiking in any kind of forest wilderness, you want to have someone check you and help check yourself for ticks. They're just.
Yeah, they send. like for me, they get on the animal and then you're petting the animal and all of a sudden you've got a tick on you now. Like I didn't go roll around in the grass. Why do I have ticks? But yeah, so your animals carry them, right? You're petting them, you get them on you too. So yeah, always good to have some sort of insect repellent and then having someone check you, make sure you don't have ticks.
And also avoiding scented soaps and perfumes because a lot of bugs, especially mosquitoes are attracted. Bees are also attracted to the perfumes. Smells like really? Flower.
I didn't even think about that. That makes sense. So what you're saying is need some not so good smelling. They won't bug you.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Or no perfume.
Or no perfume. No, even yeah. better. Yeah. So, you guys got anything else? I think this is really good. Giving folks some insight into safety tips. Is there anything else you guys got?
Yeah, so I did pull up some statistics there. So back in 2023, we had 19 fatalities that occurred.
This is Air Force or DOD?
Air Force wide.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously we don't like to see any of those and we like to see it down at zero. So it's one of those things that, you know, we just to avoid these accidents, we need to, you know, exercise proper risk management. And so just making sure that you're taking care of yourself, you're taking care of your wingman, you're taking care of your family. So definitely need to drive those numbers down.
I think that's probably one of the biggest parts. You can be as safe as you want to be, but you also need to be looking out for the person to your left and to your right, because, you know, not everyone has the same acceptance of risk. Right. Like some folks are like, oh, that's a 50-foot cliff. That looks fun to jump off of. And I'm sitting on the ground going, we're not doing that. So, yeah, always looking out, you know, for the folks around you. So. You got anything else, Arden Holmes?
We forgot to mention them. Stay hydrated. The heat increases, sweat increases, and sometimes you don't realize it because you're maybe getting in and out of the pool or the lake, and we make sure you're drinking plenty of water.
I don't know what just happened. My phone just had a mind of its own and just turned on in my pocket. That was cool. Get in and out of the water, but also, you know, if folks are traveling to drier climates, right? It can be 100 degrees outside and not feel like it does here when it's 80. So making sure, yeah, that you stay hydrated, maybe have a hydration monitor, like basic training, right? Like that's what you tell your kid. Hey, every 30 minutes, you got to yell at us to hydrate. It'd be a little game for them. Then everyone stays hydrated.
Every time you pull them out of the water to reapply sunscreen, make them drink a bottle of water.
Yeah. Simple stuff.
Good idea.
And while we're talking about little kids, around water, you know, always, even if they know how to swim, always have an eye on them. You don't want to leave those kids alone by the water.
Yeah, you never know what could happen.
It only takes a few seconds for something disastrous to happen.
So, well, thank you both for sitting down. Did you have something else? Okay. You looked at me like, oh, I wasn't done. No, thank you both. And thanks for the tips. And hopefully everyone, you know, pays attention to these, pay attention to our fun little safety videos we've got coming out. We've got a few more. I think there's one, Chief Cassidy might be making an appearance in one for Father's Day. So those are just fun little, they're fun little videos that we're making to get a very serious point across. So thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for this month's episode of the Fuel Podcast. I hope you all have a great UTA. You know, we got 4 days together, so spend some time with your folks, with some people in the office, some friends you got around base. You know, we got the Greek games going on, the Sapper Point 5K, all sorts of stuff to, you know, just hang out with your fellow wingmen here at the Hoosier Wing. So hope everyone has a great weekend. And safe travels here and home, and we will see you back in August.